Welcome to Mental Health Insights. My name is Craig, and today I'm here with Kim McGinnis. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Craig.
So we're going to, I've had this conversation a little bit with somebody else, and Kim and I connected, and she wants to talk about creating purpose, which I think is so important in today's environment where people can wander around and not really know what it is that they're doing. And so I just super appreciate the passion that you have around this topic and wanting to even kind of broach the subject, which is it's a big subject to broach as a therapist, mental health clinician.
It is. I would agree with you. And I think for me and for the, you know, clients that I work with, what I have found is that there's this kind of underlying desire to, you know, figure out not just necessarily purpose, but just what to do with people's time. And sometimes that can get in the way of, you know, some of those other symptoms that show up from other things like sadness or anxiousness or worry. And then it kind of all gets confused in terms of, you know, what direction am I going? So early on, as I started working with clients, I knew there was a need to kind of create a framework for whatever other kind of work that we were going to do together. And that's where my passion around purpose kind of started.
Well, and I think that if people are listening to this and they are mental health clinicians, this is something that they definitely ran into with different people. And if you're someone that's listening to this and maybe you're trying to figure out, hey, am I having trouble with purpose? Or am I not really quite sure what my purpose is? And I'm wondering if you may know, Kim, if I'm someone that's maybe struggling with my purpose or I don't really know the direction I want to go, what are some things that I might notice about my life? Or what are some things that, like if you're going to take a peek into my head that you would see?
That's a great question. So one of the things that helps to start really thinking about the difference between purpose and other, I'm going to say noise in our life, is to understand that purpose is different than goals, is different than vision, is different than values. And I think for us as humans, we get very different and competing messages from society at large as to how purpose is supposed to look. You know, okay.
So they might tell you that your purpose is to have a good career. They might purpose like,
right.
Okay.
Right. Right. And then if you'll just, you know, put these goals together, you'll understand your purpose. And then people do that and they create what I call kind of the busy nature of humanness.
Right.
And then they get to the end of the goal and they're like, I don't feel any different. I don't feel any more connected. And so usually where I start when we talk about purpose is what it's not instead of what it is, because it's so much easier to say, oh, that's not purpose. I get it now. Because for a lot of people, they think about purpose as a thing. And what we know about purpose, even in from a research perspective, it's not a thing. It's the actual journey of your life. It is milestones of your life, it is events of your life. It is the people, it's the society at large that's part of your life. There's a system to purpose. It's not a goal. So I usually start there where purpose is not a goal. Purpose is not ego-based, which is very hard for people because a lot of times we'll be told, oh, it's just something you're really good at. It's something that people tell you, you know, is your strength. And so we build up this idea that when we feel in that place of ego, oh, that must be my purpose. And then when all
right, so if everybody tells me that, hey, you're really good at baseball, I'm like, oh, okay. Like maybe I'm supposed to be a baseball player.
Exactly. And so then we're kind of living that life. And again, chasing that goal and missing purpose along the way. And part of, you know, I think the hardest shift is to get out of the ego side and into what I call kind of the soul side, that real, true, kind of intentional part of who we are.
So I want to break this down a little, Kim, but before we do that, I want to make sure that I'm hearing you right. So if somebody's listening to this and they're trying to figure out, am I someone that is having trouble with purpose? It sounds like they could be someone that is quote unquote successful, or they could be someone that has these goals and they're hitting these markers and they're doing these things. And despite them doing those things, they just still feel like something's missing, like something's not quite there. Like almost like their life is still a little lackluster from what they want. And you said something that a lot of times we're taught that purpose is somehow ego driven. Can you talk to us a little more about like ego and, you know, if someone's just trying to conceptualize, what does that look like? Would you be able to help us with that?
Sure. I can try, because the ego is complicated even just by itself. You know, it's how I like to help people think about the ego. It's the voice that tells you kind of the shoulds, the musts. It's the voice that's always kind of sitting there looking for accolades. It's the voice that kind of stands up in attention when there is some sort of validation that's going to be present. It's an external praise.
So looking for the compliments.
Looking for the compliments.
Looking for the stickers or anything like that that you
make. Yeah. Yeah, it's the part of when we're parenting, honestly, that we get trapped in sometimes with our kids, right? We like the stickers, we say, or the piece of the candy or the external reward that we believe is building this understanding of who they are, when it's really just, you know, looking for that egocentric kind of orientation. And purpose is really quiet. It's more internal. It's, you know, I talk about it in terms of a formula, and the formula I talk about is that it's the what matters to you plus the kind of person you were born to be. So it's this, this is of great interest to me. Right. And this is just an internal thing. No one told me I needed to do this or should do this or must do this.
It's almost kind of like a destiny type thing.
Yeah.
Where there is this special part about each and every one of us that we have some type of built-in purpose that we go on this journey to tap into, to understand more about, to kind of flesh out more of an understanding about ourselves. Is that what you're saying, or am I missing the boat?
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. And I think that I was going to look it up, and again, I forgot to do that, but Brené Brown has this amazing quote about something about, you know, society tells us like the busier we are, the greater we are. And it's really not about being busy for purpose. It's about being still. It's not the doing, it's the being.
Right.
I know that that seems kind of broad and big, but the more you start understanding, this is about reflection.
Well, and I think there's something important about that too, is that us being busy all the time is sometimes a distraction from us actually going through that process of understanding our own purpose. Like if we don't give enough space for us just to sit there and understand and to explore, then we'll never actually reach that, right? And then we could be super busy and doing things, and things could be moving and grooving in our life, and we just still feel that emptiness.
Right. And I think that for me, even me personally, it's because this is why it's so important to me, is that I think I experienced that myself. I found myself, you know, being part of a lot of groups or being engaged with a lot of people, or, you know, having a lot of energy around me, in a lot of the downtime that I did have. And then kind of looking at myself and saying, well, then what still feels like I'm missing something? Kind of just like you're describing, there was still this something that I didn't feel like was connecting somewhere.
I think that's so important. I think sometimes what happens is we feel like we're missing something, so we start to look around at other people and we see, well, they look like they got it figured out, so maybe I need something that they have or that they have going on.
Isn't that true? That's true.
Oh, it is most certainly true. My wife and I just talked about this the other day. This is actually a conversation her and I have quite often about purpose. As she's exploring and understanding her own purpose, and then there's sometimes she'll look at me as, you know, as a business owner and being able to kind of like set a schedule that I like and do these things like this podcast that I enjoy doing. And she'd be like, well, I kind of want to do that. Like maybe I would enjoy things a lot better if that was the case. And then only to find out that that's not necessarily the case because, you know, my purpose is not the same as your purpose. You know, her purpose is not the same as mine or anything like that. But I think that we all get caught in that trap, right? Where we look at someone else and like, they look like they got it figured out. Maybe I just need to do what they're doing.
Isn't that true? And I, you know, it's so hard today too for people just because of so much of that ability to compare ourselves with all of social media and all of the other ways that we get information so fast. That, you know, we don't have a lot of time to create space or to pause or to really listen to our own self, because there is options to create a lot of noise. There's options to create a lot of goals. There's options to do so much that's opposite of finding purpose.
Right. So talk with me a little bit about this framework that you may use with your clients to help them to start to explore and kind of flesh out a direction or a journey that they can start to continue to pursue for finding their own purpose.
Yeah. So I don't think you and I talked about this, but this is not my first career. I think this is like my third or fourth career to be a therapist. Right. So prior to this, I worked in corporate America for 20 years, and I worked in human resources, and I did a lot of work with executives in terms of strategy development and trying to figure out organizations and the effectiveness of aligning a business strategy to the people. And so we didn't get, you know, we didn't lose people along the way as we were trying to, you know, create our business objectives. And during that time, I became very familiar with a lot of the system framework that's very popular in business environments, to just be able to understand that, you know, you can't just pull one part of the business and hope for the other part to follow along. You have to kind of understand how they all interlock with one another. And so when I came into the world of therapy, I thought, well, that's very similar to how as humans, we kind of interact too in our world. We have all of these ways that when we pull one part of our life, it pulls on another part of our life too, knowingly or not knowingly. It just happens, right?
Right. Well, that makes sense, right? Like if I am going to adjust the hours that I'm working, that is going to affect the time that I spend with my family,
right?
Which means that that's going to affect how my family interacts with me and how I interact with them or anything like that. So even just a slight shift that may happen. Or if I decide that I'm going to wake up early from now on to go and exercise, that may end up impacting me depending on the level of sleep I'm getting or how happy I am with the results of the exercise. So yeah, that makes good sense that if you kind of look at a human being and the time that we spend as an entire system, if we add or subtract some things to certain areas of our life, that will end up affecting other areas.
Right. And, you know, part of what made me very interested in that first was some of the research around socialization and how purpose kind of fits into how we actually communicate with other people, and how we need other people to actually understand our purpose too. And so when I started to look at all of the data, it became even more evident to me that, you know, if we could figure out a way, or if I could figure out a way to help someone understand, again, that purpose isn't a thing, but it's our experiences. And the more we understand those, how we start to kind of understand then our purpose, the easier that this idea of non-ego, non-goal might be.
Right.
So I kind of created this step system. It's a 5-step system. And it starts with the idea of understanding what your individual values are. And a lot of therapy work, you know, stems from this idea of, do you have values that are important to you, that kind of guide you, that are this compass in terms of, right, what you kind of understand your world or how you see your world.
Right.
So usually that's where we start. We start with defining what are those values.
I wonder, this is just a curious question. Do you find it easy, or are people typically able to identify their values, or is it pretty hard for them?
It's hard.
Right.
It's hard.
I was thinking about that whenever you're saying that, and it's almost easier to be like, tell me what makes you the most upset whenever you see in the world. And that will like, will kind of like follow this thread backwards, maybe because it probably hits on some type of value. But I think it's so important what you said is that we, and this kind of even goes back to like, we don't always set up the time, right? We're so busy that we don't really set up the time for that self-reflection. So even if somebody asks you something that should be something that you may know, like what are your values, if you haven't taken a lot of time to talk with people about it and to actually sit and think about it, you might not even be able to answer that question.
Most of the time when we start, my clients don't have the answer. They'll say, well, this is important to me, but typically what shows up as important is a goal. It's not a value, because we're very programmed toward goals. Right. And so, and then when we dig
deeper, because goals are measurable, right?
Goals are measurable. Mm-hmm. And a value isn't, that it's that non-ego thing. It's that internal source of, you know, what helps you understand your point of view and what helps you move in directions when it feels like you don't know the right answer. So I actually have like 140 values that we use in with my clients, and we kind of do this value sort, and we sort them, and then we prioritize them, and we get down to five that are very, very important, five that are just important, and then five that are not important. And the not important are as almost as important as the very important, because those not important ones are the ones that take up us off our path. Right. They're the ones that create distraction. They're the ones that we tend to gravitate to when it gets hard and we want to do something easy.
Okay.
So we start
that's the first step.
Mm-hmm. We start with values, and then we move to something I call events. And events is looking at kind of these individual reactions we have to situations.
All right.
Because it's that emotion that's telling us something. It's that way we react that's telling us something.
Right.
Right.
So looking at events where we've had maybe extreme reactions or reactions that are like puzzling to us or what, how do you kind of determine what kind of events you want to look at?
Memorable. Right. So if I say to you, Craig, let's go back as far back as you can remember, and when we start even back in kind of childhood, what's an event that showed up for you that you might recall?
Jumping off my porch into a pile of leaves.
Yeah. And what was the emotion behind that?
Oh, it was excitement.
Excitement. Mm-hmm. And that excitement was coming from a place of what?
It's just like eager. Eager once we got the pile big enough, and Once my parents said that, all right, you can jump off now. Mm-hmm. I watched my brother do it. And I was like, oh man, I can't wait to do this. And I jumped off too.
So some permission, mm-hmm. maybe some freedom.
I think the freedom.
Freedom.
Feels a little more right.
Yeah. So even in that one thing that was just jumping off the porch into the leaves, we're getting an indication that there's something about freedom for you that matters.
Right.
So we kind of mark that. And then we go to the next event and we see what kind of emotion showed up with that event. And then we go to the next event. And then we look at all the events for any kind of theme.
Right. So like if freedom ends up showing up as a theme, or if something other, like in, you might have in the back of your mind, your kind of value scales that you have, your 140 values, And you're like, okay, like which ones do these kind of tie into?
Exactly. Exactly. So now we're starting to create connections, right? So one of the values that does talk about freedom is independence. Another one might be autonomy. Another one might be, you know, I mean, there's multiples, but so we can start kind of categorizing, oh, did this show up and is very important? Did this show up and important? Did this show up and not important? And then right. Now we're getting a picture. And then we move to the next part of the process. And that's where we look at milestones. Milestones are those like graduations, weddings, birthdays, those kinds of times where you remember something about it, like something it made you feel,
right.
a way that you walked away from that milestone and said, huh, that's interesting. I didn't know that about myself.
So give me an idea, going through these events, that seems like that would take a long time, discovering these values.
It does. This is not easy work. For each kind of step along the way, it's hours. It's a handful of hours to really unpack and really figure out what's in there.
Right. Mm-hmm. And well, that makes sense when you said like we're trying to, like the purpose is something that we're trying to flesh out. We're trying to understand, and it is a process going through and understanding it.
Yeah.
And these values seem to be good indicators of kind of like what direction to go next. So that makes sense that this would be a pretty important step.
Yeah.
So what happens next after, you know, you kind of see that there is some type of theme to some of these values? What happens after that?
So then we look at systems. And when I talk about systems, I mean like our entire systems, like what people have been with us along the way, what people made it easier to achieve mm-hmm. kind of that feeling of the events, what people made it more complicated.
Now, using the events that were discussed, mm-hmm. you'd say like, all right, maybe this event, who in your life made it easier, who made it harder, and you'd take special note of those types of interactions.
Correct.
All right.
And you not only look at people, you look at places, you look at your financial situation, you look at your spirituality, you look at kind of those places where you connect in your world.
Right.
Right. So for example, the one we were just talking about with you, you were with your family. Mm-hmm. So there was a feeling of freedom, this feeling of independence when you were around people that you love.
Right.
And so that helps us start to understand, oh, wonder if that showed up in milestones too, where there was this connectivity when there was a comfort.
Right.
Right. Because now we're starting to better understand, oh, so maybe when I don't feel connected, it means I'm not with people that I feel safe with or I feel loved by. And maybe I need to gravitate toward those kinds of, you know, places or things or activities.
Right. Or some of the hurts that you experience in life or whenever those people that you love do something to you that kind of maybe obstructs that value or
right.
Offends it in some way.
Right. And that would be a milestone, right? That would be one of these things that, oh, what did I learn from that? What about that hurt me? And where is that new boundary now for me?
Right. Like right? Where is this person whenever I look at the kind of map of my connections with people and okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That makes sense.
And that makes good sense. So then we know the people, the places, the things, we know these events. And then we start to really unpack how has that created interpretation of the world for me? What are the beliefs I've left with based on all of these events, milestones, systems that I've been interacting with?
So is this creating this interpretation? Is this step four?
This is step four.
All right. So are you looking for like a singular kind of statement with the interpretation?
For some, it can be a statement. For some, a belief can show up as a definite, okay. This is what it looks like for me every time. For some, the beliefs can show up in a variety of ways. It can show up, you know, if I've been hurt, then I've taken that hurt and I've associated it to all people.
Well, I think that for me, like whenever I'm kind of like visualizing this, I feel like this is the step where we kind of start to condense everything mm-hmm. into what does it actually all mean to
this
you?
This is exactly right meaning. This is where we've given all of these things meaning, right. Where we've created an understanding of, oh, that's why I believe that to be true. When other people are saying that's not true.
Sounds like a big step for people.
This is where most times people find an inner kind of emotion. They get really either overwhelmed with what they didn't know, or they, you know, they find a new connection that helps them feel better about what they want to do going forward, which is the final step, is where we start to identify, okay, well, now we're at the place of identifying our vision for ourselves. And again, our vision, not our goal, not our objective, but how we want to continue to wake up each day with the intention for the day. This is setting our intention based on now what we understand as our purpose.
Right.
Which is very different than goal.
Well, I'm thinking and I'm hearing you say this, and I feel like I want to try to convey this and see if I'm on the same page as you.
Okay.
So like if I'm waking up and what I want to do each and every day that I wake up is I just want to spread smiles everywhere I go. Whether or not that's me smiling at somebody, or whether or not that's someone else smiling at me, or me having a good-hearted joke, or anything like that, that may be a little more purpose. But if I start to get towards like, I want 5 people to smile today, or like if it becomes like a competition, like in some way, or it becomes a, I'm going to get more people to smile today than I did yesterday. That starts to get a little bit away from it, it sounds like.
Exactly. So the example I use with clients is, you know, if think about traveling to a destination, and I know not a lot of us are doing that right now, but if we had 2 people sitting in a car, in the back seat of a car, someone else is driving. So the 2 people are sitting in the back. And if I'm looking out the window and saying, when are we there? When are we there? When are we there? And not really paying attention to what's going on outside the window, all I'm focused on is getting there, right?
Right.
If another person is sitting beside me and they're observing the leaves on the tree and they're looking at what's happening outside and they're feeling a sense of the world, they're enjoying the journey.
Right.
And they're not as worried about, when do I get there? And then let's say we get there.
Well, you know that you're moving.
You know that you're moving forward.
Right.
So we get there and now, you know, we do whatever we're doing. And now I'm the one that was saying, when do we get there? And now I'm left defeated because I was waiting to get to the special place. We're there. We're done. I'm done. But the other person is left with a journey that they were able to understand along the way, plus the actual event. There's a different fulfillment for that person than there was for me.
Right. The person who was wanting to get there as fast as they could, once it's over, there isn't any type of continuation of it. It's it is lackluster in some ways, because now that I've reached the destination that I was supposed to be going and done what I was supposed to do, what's now? What's the kind of the next thing that I need to be chasing after, the next place I need to go?
Right. And then that's when we start looking around us. That's when we start saying, what else is everybody else doing? Why is everybody else happy? What am I missing? Where the other person is satisfied. There's an enjoyment that was fulfilled on the process getting there, on being there, and probably on the way back too.
Right.
Right.
I wonder, whenever people go through this process with you, what's it like for them?
It's usually very overwhelming, you know, because it starts so small. We start with values and that feels like, oh, okay. And then there's always kind of question mark. Well, now what do I do with that? And then when we kind of move through the rest of the steps, there's like, kind of this at the end, this understanding of like a light bulb, like, oh, you know, I've been in this place of just understanding that it's about kind of getting to a destination instead of understanding the journey.
Right.
And it shifts that appreciation instead of, you know, kind of what we like to say as therapists is look for the gratitude or, you know, look for those places where you can be grateful. You know, for some, that's hard to find if you're in that kind of negative sentiment override space. And this is a way to break that apart, to be able to say, it's not about having to force yourself. It's about understanding yourself.
Right. I think one of the interesting things about what I'm hearing you say is that I've heard different people talk about making a mission statement for your life. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about that in some way because it's a very business-like way of looking at it, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's something that sounds good, like a good idea on paper. But I think that one of the challenges is that if I am making some type of mission statement and I don't do it in a way with like you're talking about, and maybe I do make it measurable or I do make it in a way where there is some type of ending or achievement that I can get, there's only so much you can do with that. There's only so far you can go with that. Mm-hmm. Whereas purpose is something that is ongoing. Mm-hmm. And it's something that you'll have in you from the day that maybe you're born to the day that you die. Mm-hmm. And that recognizing this purpose is something that will help make the journey that you're on now better for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great summary, Craig, because I think the hardest part about purpose is that it is this internal thing. It's how we show up without using that awareness. It's just naturally how we kind of gravitate towards certain things. You know, I tell people to think about the times where they lose track of time.
Right.
Or think about the time where, you know, they forget that, you know, they're hungry or they forget and then they look up and then, oh my gosh, look at what time it is. That's how we know in those moments we're living in our purpose.
Well, and I think that's something that's important. I was just thinking about this. When I go to church, my pastor, I can't even remember how long the sermon was. I don't think it was that long ago, actually. But he had talked about how for people that are part of the church, there are certain battles that you are called for and there are certain battles that you're not called for. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I talk about that all the time where it's like, I just don't have the passion for this thing that they're talking about right now. And that is so affirming in some ways because we do get hit with so many signals, right? Like I'm supposed to be, and as therapists, we have a lot of responsibilities towards people too. So like, I got to be contending for like equality. I got to be contending for social justice. I got to be contending for my child's education. I'd be contending to have a great marriage. And I got to be contending for, the homeless. I got to be contending for people not to go hungry at night, right? I got to be contending for orphans. I got to be contending for widows and, you know, all these different things that I had to be contending for. And I'm like, that's a lot. That's a lot. And understanding that our purpose makes it so that we don't have to be busy contending with everything that we're not called to. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be every single battle that we're fighting. Right. And maybe, in fact, that there's a couple of them that you can focus on that are all part of this theme that you kind of discover that just so happen to tap into this meaning that you have inside you internally that you haven't really even discovered yet and how it applies to your life and discovering how to live in such a way that it focuses on that.
Yeah. And what you said is really important, you know, how we can try to be looking for our purpose in all these ways that others tell us we have to be engaged in the world, or the way our profession tells us we have to be engaged in the world. And I, you know, that was literally one of my milestones. Is there was a, it was a major milestone actually for me. It was my 40th birthday, and I looked around and I thought, I am so tired. And, you know, kind of feeling in that place of there was that empty something or other, and I couldn't figure out what it was because I was completely busy. Right. But I felt like it was my responsibility to, and I felt like it was my purpose to be serving in all these ways that you were just describing, a lot of the social justice ways and the, you know, doing what's right for the community and some of those other kinds of things. And it was preventing me from literally doing my purpose, which was this work. This, the minute I let go of what other people told me I should be doing to serve the better good, and I really sat still, is the minute that I found contentment, because I was able to focus on what really was going to matter. And that got me here. That got me to be a therapist. It allowed the space to go back to school. It allowed the space to figure this out instead of being so busy I couldn't do what I was supposed to be doing.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, Kim, I think that this framework that you had and the work that you do is wonderful. And it sounds like it's something that's really helpful. Like I said, I know that any therapist that are listening to this definitely know that there's a lot of people that come into our rooms that they are looking for purpose, and even kind of giving a framework of what that looks like or the type of work that entails is something that's important. Mm-hmm. I think it's even important for people that are listening to this that maybe never even go, that would never go and see a therapist, mm-hmm. That they know that there is a way, and it might take longer. It might be harder without a therapist's help. Yeah. But there is, it's a deep seated thing within us, and there's a process going through and discovering it, and it's an important thing to do, and it can be life-changing, or it actually sounds like from what you said, it is life-changing.
It is life-changing. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm wondering, Kim, if someone's listening to this and they're like, hey, Kim sounds like she knows a lot, I want to really contact her, or they have any questions about anything that you spoke about today, how might they get in contact with you?
Okay. So I'm part of a group practice in St. Louis. The name of the group practice is Get Centered Counseling, Coaching, and Wellness. I'm part of a multiple of therapists, and you know, we serve children through adults and couples and families. And on our website, for one, you can access me under the tab that says Meet Our Team, and then it'll have counselors, and you can go into the counselors and you can find me there. I'm at the very bottom of the page. And then my email is Kim@, and this is really important to do the whole thing, getcenteredcounselingstl.com. So either way, you can access me. And here's a really cool thing. On the website, I actually have the link in my bio to go, and you can get the tools that I use for creating purpose.
Perfect. Can you say the website URL one more time for me?
Sure. The website URL is very important too. GetCenteredCounselingSTL.com.
That's perfect. Kim, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about purpose and even the framework that you use. I think this is so helpful, and I'm so thankful for the work that you're doing as well.
Thanks, Craig. Thanks for having me. I appreciate all you're doing too.
That's no problem. And thank you guys for listening to this episode. And until next time, I wish you all well. Thank you for listening to our show. This podcast is designed to provide accurate and reliable information. And those that appear on the show are all licensed professionals in the area of mental health counseling. We are in no way rendering legal or medical advice, only information to help serve you better in making decisions in your life. If you need a professional, you should find one. music you are listening to is called Lobby Time, and that is by Kevin MacLeod and licensed through Creative Commons.